There are four principal aberrations of the superior faculty, the soul, against which you should be constantly on your guard. Rash agreement, anger, insincerity, and lust. When you have detected them, you should wipe them out and say on each occasion thus, "This thought is not necessary. This tends to destroy social union. This which you are going to say comes not from the real thoughts." For you should consider it among the most absurd of things for a man not to speak from his real thoughts. But the fourth is when you shall reproach yourself the most, for this is an evidence of the diviner part within you being overpowered and yielding to the less honourable and to the perishable part, the body, and to its gross pleasures. Your aerial part and all the fiery parts which are mingled in you, though by nature they have an upward tendency, still in obedience to the disposition of the universe, they are overpowered here in the compound mass, the body. And also the whole of the earthy part in you, and the watery, though their tendency is downward, still are raised up and occupy a position which is not their natural one. In this manner, then, the elemental parts obey the universal, for when they have been fixed in any place, perforce they remain there until again the universal shall sound the signal for dissolution. Is it not then strange that your intelligent part only should be disobedient and discontented with its own place, and yet no force is imposed on it, but only those things which are conformable to its nature? Still it does not submit, but is carried in the opposite direction. For the movement towards injustice and intemperance, and to anger and grief and fear and sensuality, is nothing else than the act of one who deviates from nature. And also, when the ruling faculty is discontented with anything that happens, then it too deserts its post. For it is constituted for piety and reverence towards the gods, no less than for justice. For these qualities also are comprehended under the generic term of contentment with the constitution of things, and indeed they are prior to acts of justice. He who has not one and always the same object in life cannot be one and the same all through his life. But what I have said is not enough, unless this also is added, what this object ought to be. For as there is not the same opinion about all the things which in some way or other are considered by the majority to be good, but only about some certain things, that is, things which concern the common interest, so also ought we to propose to ourselves an object which shall be of a common kind, social and political. For he who directs all his own efforts to this object will make all his acts alike, and thus will always be the same. Think of the country mouse and of the town mouse, and of the alarm and trepidation of the town mouse. Socrates used to call the opinions of the many by the name of lamiae, bugbears to frighten children. The Lacedaemonians at their public spectacles used to set seats in the shade for strangers, but themselves sat down anywhere. Socrates excused himself to Perdiccas for not going to him, saying, "It is because I would not perish by the worst of all ends, that is, I would not receive a favour and then be unable to return it." In the writings even of Epicurus there was this precept, constantly to think of some one of the men of former times who practised virtue. The Pythagoreans bid us in the morning look to the heavens that we may be reminded of those bodies which continually do the same things, and in the same manner perform their work, and also be reminded of their purity and nudity, for there is no veil over a star. Consider what a man Socrates was when he dressed himself in a skin, after Xanthippe had taken his cloak and gone out, and what Socrates said to his friends, who were ashamed of him and drew back from him when they saw him dressed thus. Neither in writing nor in reading will you be able to lay down rules for others before you shall have first learned to obey rules yourself. Much more is this so in life. As the saying is, "A slave you are, free speech is not for you." From Homer, "And my heart laughed within me." From Hesiod, and virtue they will curse, speaking harsh words. To look for the fig in winter is a madman's act. Such is he who hopes for a child when it is no longer to be granted. When a man kisses his child, said Epictetus, he should whisper to himself, "Tomorrow, perchance, you will die." But those are words of bad omen. No word is a word of bad omen, said Epictetus, which expresses any work of nature. Or if it is so, it is also a word of bad omen to speak of the ears of corn being reaped. The unripe grape, the ripe bunch, the dried grape, all are changes, not into nothing, but into something which exists not yet. No man can rob us of our free will, Epictetus also said. A man must discover an art with respect to giving his assent, and in respect to his inclinations he must be careful that they be made with regard to circumstances, that they be consistent with social interests, that they have regard to the value of the object, and as to sensual desire, he should altogether keep away from it, and as to aversion, he should not show it with respect to anything which is not in his power. The dispute, then, he said, is not about any common matter, but about being mad or not. Mad as the vulgar are who have no philosophy, or not as those who are wise and virtuous are. Socrates used to say, "What do you want? Souls of rational men or irrational?" "Souls of rational men, of course." "Of what kind of rational men? Sound or unsound?" "Sound." "Why then do you not seek for them?" "Because we have them already." "Why then do you fight and quarrel?"